Well, good morning. I said good morning. You love the Lord this morning? Come on, give me a wave this morning if you love the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord's good. Amen. Praise the Lord. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. I'd like to acknowledge the leadership of the church. Pastor Ben, thank you very much. Pastor Joe, thank you. And all those that stands behind these two men of God doing the work here in Living Light. God's good. It's good that we can connect together, you know, in doing the work of the Lord. You know, I share this back home, you know, in our church. I said, when it comes to mission, there's not one church that's going to win the world for Christ. Amen. Amen. Can I risk an amen this morning? Amen. I said, it's not going to take just one church to win the world for Christ. It's going to be, you know, take the whole body. Amen. It's going to take the whole body to win the world for Jesus Christ. And so I bring you greetings from up north. We are experiencing some great things that God is doing, you know, within our church itself. And we've seen, you know, a lot of growth where people are just, you know, experiencing the blessings of Almighty God. And I know that here too, in this church, you know, by just looking at what God is doing here in this church, that God is, you know, just bringing his people and advancing his people, you know, into doing, you know, his purpose and his will at this hour. And so I thank and praise God for being here this morning. This morning I woke up, you know, as I was preparing my heart to come, you know, for church this morning, and I woke up and I just took my phone and I read the text. My wife texted me this morning. I'm married to a Fijian. So I'm looking at this text and why is she texting me at this time when I'm preparing my heart to go to church, you know, to preach? Praise the Lord. And she texts me, the horse has been in the garden. Praise the Lord. You know, I just want to share this. Like, you can go, if you're from the islands, you know that. You can go and live in the cities. But I tell you what, you cannot beat the cow. Yeah? So, you know, you miss your garden. And so, you know, I told my wife, like, you know, I tried this ring. I said, what? The horse been in the garden? He has just only one banana tree, just only ate two leaves. I said, please don't do that again. I told you don't do that because I'm preparing my heart for church. Praise the Lord. And I know that she is praying for me this morning. Because I asked, have you been praying? And she said, 3 o'clock. I got up this morning and I was praying for you. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That I know that someone is with me wherever I go. Praise the Lord. My wife is with me in prayer. And so I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. And I trust that this morning, as I share my heart with you this morning, that somehow the Holy Spirit will just come and just, you know, put something in your spirit this morning. Maybe just one small word, but somehow it will bring you and take you a long way, you know, in your journey in God this morning. And so this morning, I'm just going to share just some simple thoughts with us this morning. Hallelujah. You know, if there is one thing that, you know, that really needs breaking, and it is our mind. Can we say it together? We need our mind to break. 2, 3. We need our minds to break. Yes. And we measure God, you know, by what we perceive. We measure God by how much we think. And the thing about God is that when you discover God is that God only can work within the parameter of your will. How much you give to him will determine his work in you. No, you're not listening this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord is good. And so it is within the parameter of our will that God works. And this morning, you know, if we go around, you know, from one seat to the other seat, if I ask everybody, you know, how much of God, you know, that you want God in your life, you know, we all can give a certain measure, you know, of how much of our lives that we give to him, you know, that will determine his work in our lives. So, but this morning, if I could just have, you know, your hearts and your ears this morning, I'm just going to share with us this morning some principles of faith. Amen? Some simple principles of faith. You know, often when I'm preaching back at home, you know, my wife, she sits in the front seat, she looks at me, and she says to me, "You may be the senior pastor, but I'm your clock." True, you need someone there, you know, to keep you in that line. But this morning, I'm going to take your attention this morning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Just simple thought for us this morning, and it's the story of Zacchaeus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You love the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Come on, turn with me, Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. Hallelujah. From verses 1 down to 10. Hallelujah. It says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." Oh, praise the Lord. The chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful, you know, to have Jesus staying at your house? Come on, church. This was an invitation that Jesus, you know, said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, make haste because I want to come and stay with you." Oh, praise the Lord. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore fourfold." And then he goes and he says, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation comes to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham." And as we know, we often quote this verse, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was what? Lost." Several years ago when I was in Mackay, I'll just tell this funny story for us this morning. And as I was one of the assistant pastors in the church in Mackay, we invited someone to come to speak to our youth. He's Fijian. And he's the tallest person in Fiji, Brother Kali. If Brother Kali walks into the building, you'll be amazed of his height. I think he's probably third person, tallest person in the world, all the way from Fiji. And so, when he came his first time to go to the shopping center. So I said to him, "Brother, come on, we'll go to the shopping center." So we went to the shopping center, Canelands. And he came into Canelands, like we're walking together, you know, going in the shop, and all these people start to, you know, it catches up, you know, they were caught by his attention. "Wow, wow." As we went past, you know, some of them, "Wow, look at this tall bloke. Look at this tall bloke." And as we came to the eatery, from a distance I could see some of my countrymen, they were sitting there at the eatery. So we were walking together. And when I saw my countrymen from a distance as they were sitting, straightway I knew what they were thinking when they saw me from the distance. I'm short. This guy is tall. Yeah. And when your own countryman is sitting there, staring at you, and beginning to, you know, put that smile on their face, oh, yes. Okay. You know what I'm talking about this morning? Okay. Yeah. So when I saw that, something came to my mind. I'm going to turn this around. I'm going to have to do something to turn this around because they're starting to laugh at me, Pastor. So what I did was I walked ahead of Brother Kali because I was carrying some envelopes, you know, to go to Medicare. So when I went ahead of Brother Kali, I started to change my walk. You know what I'm talking about, yes. I'm the boss, he's my guardian. Yes. Feeling short restricts you from doing. What God calls you to do. And the good thing that I like this story about Zacchaeus is that when you are short, you got to think ahead. You're not listening to me this morning. Amen? Can I risk an amen? Because if you don't have the height, then you're going to have to get something to get you where you want to be. Can I risk an amen this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to have to think ahead. You're going to have to run ahead. You're going to have to go ahead to put things in place for you so that you can see the Lord. You're not listening this morning. Can I risk an amen this morning? And so I had to put this act on, Pastor. I had to step ahead of Brother Kali, and Brother Kali was trying to catch up with me, and I'm, you know, trying to set the pace so that he walked behind me. After that, we went home, I told him, and we were laughing. We were laughing. I said, I have to turn this around. Yes. Because just seeing my countrymen in the face, I know straight away what they are thinking about me. Praise the Lord. So the story of Zacchaeus shows to us that he had a physical problem and it had to do with height. He was short in stature. What does it shows us? It shows us that the people could not recognize his size. How many of us here this morning? That when it comes to exercising faith, that sometimes we put judgment and we say, no, he's not that size. Come on. He's not the right person, I think. But the story of Zacchaeus shows to us that he is an average man. Oh, people. Can you get it this morning? That he is an average man that is willing and that is wanting to see the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That he put something in place. Amen. That the Lord meets him on that road to Jericho. The sad reality is that, you know, we're living in this Western culture. You know, we often assign value to a person based on their physical appearance. I don't know about that guy. He's a bit strange. I don't know about that guy. I don't think so. He'll be able to do it. I don't know about that guy. But the good thing is that when we look at the promises of God in the scriptures, that whatever difficulty that we have or whatever physical appearance that might restrict us from doing what God wants us to do, the Bible says to us that the Lord makes his face to shine upon you. You're not listening this morning? Numbers chapter 6. The Lord makes his face to shine upon you. You get up in the morning, you go to the bathroom, you look at yourself in the mirror. Oh yes, I just got up from bed. I need to do something about my face this morning. So you splash some water on your face. And then you do all the things that you do to make that face. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? You're picking up something this morning? You're picking up something this morning. Yes, the Lord is good. God desires his face to shine upon you. A shining face is a beautiful description of someone who is happy to be seen. And the thing is that in this story we find that Jesus made eye-to-eye contact and he spoke to him face-to-face. This is what the Lord wants to do to every one of us, that when we have a personal relationship with him, he speaks to us face-to-face because he wants to make your face shine. He wants to make your face shine. And the thing is that when we read about this story is that Zacchaeus was not an interruption to Jesus' schedule. This morning, if I can encourage all of us here this morning, that there is no interruption when Jesus passes your way. You are not an interruption. He is not too busy to say, oh, come back another time. He is not the type of person that says, no, you got to make an appointment to come and see me. He's not that person that says, no, you come back another day. No ways. Thank you, my sister. Praise the Lord. At least I know she's with me this morning. See, the Lord wants to come face to face with us all this morning. Why don't we put our hands together and bless the Lord? You know, as I was looking at this and I think, well, why Jesus was interested in, why Zacchaeus was interested in Jesus? You know, one of Jesus' disciples was also a tax collector. His name was what?
Matthew.
Matthew was a tax collector. It could have been Matthew that said to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you got to try Jesus. Or maybe Zacchaeus questioned himself and said to, well, why did Matthew, leave the tax booth to follow Jesus? Mm. Because when we follow the scriptures and when we look at the scriptures, there was a lot of tax collectors that came around Jesus. Hey, come on. And the Bible says when Matthew came to know Jesus, the Bible says that he threw a party. Praise the Lord. He made a big feast. And there was a lot of tax collectors that came to that feast. That maybe Zacchaeus, maybe he had felt that he was left out. Or maybe he was the supervisor, being the chief collector of taxes. And he's looking around and he says, where's all these other tax collectors? The booths are empty. Hey, come on. Can I risk an amen this morning? What's happening? What's happening? I'm losing people. They're all going and they're all following Christ. You see, God has his way of getting to people. God has his way of getting to people. After all, you were created for him. Short fella, you run ahead, climb a sycamore tree. Wow. Jesus goes past, he looks up, he said, hey, who's this guy up in the tree here? What's happening? Zacchaeus, what are you doing up there? I can't see through the shoulders. I can't see through the heads. I'm too short. It's too hard for me to see. That's why I have to climb this tree this morning. I think there's a principle of faith, some principles of faith that we can learn from this story. The first one is that faith is believing even before we see what God has for us. Now, please, if I could put this to us this morning, let's not just say believe, but there is the right way of believing. And there is the wrong way of believing. You with me? We are all humans. Praise the Lord. Oh, Dal, I have to tell you something. Yes, what do you want to tell me? If I'm going to tell you, you won't believe it. Come on. Yes. This is human nature. Yes. It's hard to believe. Even if it's true, it's hard to believe, Pastor. And even to walk in that reality of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Whoa, brother. Too good to be true. It's too hard to believe that. Come on, can I risk an amen this morning? You with me this morning? I know you're picking up something there. You wouldn't believe me if I told you. And we all come across people like that. So to believe it, you know, it all simply, to have the right belief, it all simply comes to one thing, and that is what? Trust. Everybody say trust. 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 Trust is something that we don't get overnight. Pastor is saying amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Trust is not something that is given to you overnight. It is something that you earn. Amen? It is something that you earn. And your walk with God will determine your trust this morning. In John chapter 9, we read the story of a man that was blind. And when Jesus healed him, guess what? There was a big stirring amongst the religious world, and they started to argue over, how come this guy, he was blind. But now, how come he sees? What happened to him? Yesterday I saw him, he was blind, but now today he sees. Come on, church. You picking up something this morning? Well, please give me a report of this miracle. Why? Can someone please explain to me why this bloke was blind yesterday and now today he sees? This is what happened in the religious world. Oh, it must be a sin problem. It must be a sin problem. Let's try and go and try and see where this problem comes from. Let's call mom and dad. How come your son was blind yesterday and today he sees? I don't know. Jesus touched him. Jesus touched him. He's old enough. Go and ask him. Huh? This is what we do when it comes to trusting. He's old enough. Go and ask him. Ask him what happened. No! We'll go and ask this fella here. This fella probably knows how come this thing happened. And we know the story very well that it goes on and on and on and on. You see, when you truly believe in Jesus, you will gain spiritual sight. Because of his desire, Zacchaeus. Because he put something in place, he ran up ahead. He gained height. You say, what, Pastor? He gained height. God provided a sycamore tree for him. God provided a sycamore tree. When you truly believe in Jesus, you gain spiritual sight. To be blind is to trust in your own work and efforts. How true it is. How true it is. That when it comes to faith, faith is just simply believing. It's just simply believing and seeing it as though it is not here yet. Myself and my wife, we applied for a PR through the immigration. So the fees, we paid the fees. Sent all the forms, sent it away. So I went to work. That afternoon, we got home. When we got home, she said to me, "Hey, something happened." I said, "What?" "Something happened. The immigration rang me." "Okay." We just simply put our faith and trust in God. We prayed for it. once. Then the second time, when we went to pray, we just gave thanks. Thanksgiving is the highest form of faith. It is the highest form of faith that you can ever give to the Lord. Only one time in prayer, we say, Lord, we are praying for her PR. We thank you. Next day, next time when we're praying, thank you, Lord, it's coming our way. Thank you, Lord, it's coming our way. Thank you, Lord, your favor is coming. Your favor is coming. 2 weeks later, she receives the call and she said, hey, something happened. She said, the immigration called and she said, they're going to reimburse all the fees. Huh? Immigration? Australian government? Yes. And we all, Australians here this morning, we know Australian government, they want to take everything from you. Praise the Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise this morning? Thank you, Lord. They want to know every bit about you. The color of your eyes, the color of your hair, and whatever. Praise the Lord. Amen. And not only that, but they want to make your pocket empty. But Australian government, immigration called and said, hey, they're going to reimburse the fee. I said, okay, when the money comes, it'll go back into my account. She said, no, into my account. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Amen. The Lord is good. So when you truly believe in Jesus, you gain spiritual sight, and to be blind is to trust in your own works and effort. And sometimes we can trust in our own efforts this morning. But faith is simply believing even before we see what God has for us. This, you know, the thing about Jesus, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. True? And the nature of light, you know, is to give that light. But one thing about that light is that light often casts shadows. Light often casts shadows. But this morning, God wants to make that light shine through you and I this morning by just simply believing. Simply believing. Turn to the person next to you and say, just simply believe. And when the light casts a shadow, that's when we judge. Praise the Lord. The second thing and last one, I was going to share six, but I'm going to say just two this morning. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I have to keep true to my wife. Yeah, I know, Pastor. The second thing about faith, oh my goodness, is that faith is obeying God even when it doesn't make sense. Climbing up a tree. Oh, praise the Lord. I like it. Because when we climb the tree, guess what? We meet Jesus and Jesus says, hey, you come down from the tree because I'm going to your place. Are you listening this morning? Amen. Because that is what he said to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you come down because I want to go to where your place is. I want to go there. You see the provision of God? That when we go past the shoulders that we see, that when we go past and when we just move in and continue to go, praise the Lord, where, you know, where we see just heads in front of us, but when we go past that, God says, hey, there's a tree, climb on that. Climb on that. Climb on the tree this morning. Because when we find ourselves within the provision of God, and it's all through His grace, that God says, you come down because I found favor with you. I'm going to your place. Amen. Faith will always provide a way for us. It is always through His grace. In Matthew 14, as I come to a close, we know the story of Peter. And often, you know, we preachers, we often condemn Peter because Jesus said to him, oh, you of little faith. Oh, you of little faith. This is what Jesus said to him. Oh, you of little faith. But when we look at that story, it just challenges us this morning that if Peter, listen, if Peter had little faith, that Jesus even said to him, you have little faith, then the question is this morning, how about the leaven? They had nothing, brother. They stayed in the boat.
Amen.
At least Peter had little faith. He stepped out. But the leaven, I ain't getting out of my boat. I ain't getting out of my boat, Pastor. I'm staying right there. Oh, turn the boat upside down. Praise the Lord. Yes. At least one that had little faith, it was still enough for Jesus to grab him by the hand, at least, and walk him through. You can, Pastor. It's your church. Ah.
Amen.
Amen. It's true. That Jesus said, enough, just enough faith, a faith the size of a mustard seed, that's good enough. I'll walk you through this. Yes. Went in the boat again. You see, there are three things that we can pick up quickly. 5 minutes. I often say in my church, Pastor, I stretch the elastic up this way, then I'll stretch it this way. The Bible says to us that there were three things that hindered the faith. The first one is this, disillusionment. Everybody say disillusionment. Okay, let me just quickly describe this thing. In the middle of the night, they're out in the sea. The Bible says it was at the fourth watch. Andrew, what? No, you're struggling with the two. Don't try and pick a bone on me. You're struggling with the two. Fourth watch. And I could see, you know, just imagine one of the other disciples. Wow, look at these waves. Look at all this. These waves at night. Oh, no. I don't know. I don't know if we're really going to make it. And then maybe there was, if there was a real black fella in the boat, excuse me, I'm not, what's the name? That even when he saw through the waves, he saw Jesus and, well, hey, hey. Ghost, quick, ghost. Praise the Lord. Quick, ghost. So he stands up and he takes off down into the cabin and everybody else goes, no, praise the Lord. You see, at the fourth watch, At night, when you're asleep, when you can see things properly, that this is the devil, oh, praise the Lord. We have to dispel that. See, the thing is that we make the problems of life worse in our own head than they really are. And as human, we are masters of creating terrible events. We're good at doing it. And what makes it worse? We can't sleep at night. We just toss and turn. We worry. How true it is. Because we all experience that. Next day we wake up, we feel miserable. I didn't get my good sleep. What's wrong? It's worrying, man. It's worrying. But the good thing about the story of Peter is that at least he had faith. And the other 11 did not. Second thing, distraction. Everybody say distractions. Oh, yes. Yes, distractions. Distractions. They come in two forms, obvious and they can be subtle. The Bible says when Peter focused on Jesus, he stepped out of the boat. But when his focus shifted, that's when he began to sink. You see, the devil, he is very smart. That he, if he cannot make you bad, he will make you busy. If he can make you bad, he will make you busy. Martha, praise the Lord. Last one. They were in doubt. And all doubt needs to be destroyed. You see, we see a similar situation in Matthew chapter 8, that when they went across the lake, they went through a storm. But this time, Jesus was in the boat, and Jesus was what? Oh, he was enjoying his sleep. The Bible says he slept. His head was on the pillow. Wow. His head was on the pillow. He was way up in glory land, asleep. And when the storms arose, Bible says to us that the disciples, they began to tremble. We know the story very well. And that when they trembled, they even went and woke up the Messiah, woke Jesus up and said, please, can you do something about the storm? Can you please do something about the storm? And we know the story that Jesus stood up and he said, peace, be still. But when we read this story, we find something that the disciples said that questioned Jesus. Wow, what manner of man is he that even the winds and the waves obey him? Before, when they walked with Jesus, this is the point that I want to get from this. Before, when they walked with Jesus, they saw amazing things that Jesus did. But after, when Jesus performed the miracle of calming the storms, they looked and they said, wow, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And then, you know what Jesus said? Jesus was talking about, you know, seeing. And it was at that point that when they saw Jesus, what Jesus performed at that night, that he was no longer an amazing worker, but he was the Son of God. Amen. When we read that story, their faith went up. Because they did not see him just as being an amazing worker, but they saw him as being the Son of God. Amen. This morning, God provides for us in many ways. Yes. That even if he has to walk with us by holding our hands through the storm, but most of us this morning, we want to remove the storm altogether once and for all. One go, one hit. Some storms, God will remove it. But some storms, we're going to have to walk through it. Amen. Zacchaeus, you're just a little man. But this morning, you here this morning, if I could say it and just encourage you, you may be the little man here this morning, but let me tell you, you have a big story. You have a very big story this morning. Because your littleness, God can take it and perform a miracle and make it his greatness this morning. Bow your heads in prayer this morning. Papa, we honor you this morning. We thank you. Oh God, you are the miracle worker. That even, oh God, as we have heard your word this morning, Lord, we know that you provide for us a way. It is all because of your grace. That even, oh God, that sometimes we can see and we limit ourselves because of our appearance. But this morning, Lord, through your word this morning, you have shown, Lord, that if we are going to see what you see this morning, Lord, we're going to have to run up ahead. And we're going to have to put things in place to help us to get to see you this morning. Lord, we thank you. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen. Amen.